the following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Third Canto, Chapter Number 23, Texts Number 20 and 21. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on July 9th, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hamsa,
Hamsa,
Parvata,
Parvata,
Tatra,
Tatra,
Nukujitam,
Kritimam,
Manyamanai, Svan, Adiruya,
Adiruya,
Cha, Hamsa Parvata Vratais Tatra Tatra Nikujitam Kritimang Manyamanai Svan Adiruya Adiruya Cha
Hamsa Parvata Vratais
Tatta nukujitam Kritiman manyamanai svam Adivruhyat divruhyacha Hamsa
of swans
Parvata of pigeons Vratai with multitudes Tatra tatra, here and there, Nukujitam, vibrated, Kritrimam, artificial, Manyamanai, thinking, Svan, belonging to their own kind, Adhiruda Adhiruhya, rising repeatedly, Cha, and Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Here and there in that palace were multitudes of live swans and pigeons, as well as artificial swans and pigeons so lifelike that the real swans rose above them again and again, thinking them live birds like themselves. Thus the palace vibrated with the sounds of these birds. Text 21. Viharastana Visharamo Sangvesha Panganajirai Yato Pajobisham Rachitair Vishmapanam Ivatmana. The castle had pleasure grounds, resting chambers, bedrooms, and inner and outer yards designed with an eye to comfort. All this caused astonishment to the sage himself. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Kardama Muni, being a saintly person, was living in a humble hermitage. But when he saw the palace constructed by his yogic powers, which was full of resting rooms, rooms for sex enjoyment, and inner and outer yards, he himself was astonished. And that is the way of a God-gifted person. A devotee like Kardama Muni exhibited such opulence by his yogic power at the request of his wife. But when the opulence was produced, he himself could not understand how such manifestations could be possible. When a yogi's power is exhibited, the yogi himself is sometimes astonished. So, not only can the yogis do something wonderful by their yogic power, the pure devotee is even more powerful than yogi. And by his simple acts of devotion, he can create the most amazing transformation in the human society. Just by Prabhupada's coming here, you see, to the Western countries, leaving India, picking up a pair of kartals, he started a world revolution with a pair of kartals, can you imagine? Normally we think about revolution where you got to have air force, navy, you know, soldiers and all kinds of things to make a revolution. But Prabhupada started a revolution just with a little pair of kartals, you see. You see? So this is the power of the devotee. Just with the most simple beginnings, he can create the most amazing results. So this is called bhakti shakti. It's more powerful than yogic shakti. Krishna shakti vina tare vina nahi tare pravartana. This Krishna shakti possessed by the pure devotee, there's unlimited potency there. So we are the very fortunate recipients of that mercy of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who took the time and trouble, so much trouble actually. He was living comfortably in Vrindavan, in the holy place of Krishna. But he took so much difficulty upon himself to come to the Western countries to give Krishna. Why? Because he had been ordered by his spiritual master. This is the mood of the disciple. My spiritual master's order, that is my life and soul. If you study the Nectar of Devotion and see the steps on the path of bhakti, the very first thing is take shelter of Guru. Second step, get initiated by Guru. Third step, be fully obedient to Guru. In these three steps, everything can be accomplished. So we see this was Prabhupada's great power, his great potency. Somebody asked, who will lead this movement after you leave this world? Prabhupada said, anyone who follows, they will be the leader. So to be a spiritual leader is not a very difficult thing. If you simply follow your spiritual master strictly, accepting his orders, your very life and soul, then automatically you're a leader. You don't need a big title, a big position. Simply you have to be strictly following the spiritual master. And then you automatically become a powerful leader in this world. We see this in Prabhupada. Just by totally being sold out to his spiritual master, he's become the most powerful, influential person in the whole world. You see? So by our strictly following Srila Prabhupada and those who are following Srila Prabhupada, then we become empowered to do wonderful things also in this world. We're all meant to become empowered preachers, actually. That's the desire of Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that now we are 10,000, and then we will grow to 100,000, and then we will grow to 1,000,000, and then we will grow to 10,000,000. He said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So acharya means an empowered preacher, one who carries the shakti of Krishna for Krishnizing this world. So Prabhupada envisioned ISKCON with 10,000,000 acharyas. So we simply stick to the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada to faithfully chant Hare Krishna mantra every day, to faithfully avoid illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, working together cooperatively as a worldwide society of devotees, in spite of having so many differences of opinion. Sticking together on the order of Srila Prabhupada, then the most amazing results will come. The whole world will become transformed. We will become delivered back to home, back to Godhead. And so many people will also get that opportunity. Thousands and millions of people will get that opportunity to also go back to home, back to Godhead. There's no reason to suffer in this material existence. It's an artificial position. We're the eternal servants of Krishna. It doesn't make sense to suffer here unnecessarily. It's absolutely asinine to suffer. Foolishness. One simply has to become a little intelligent and try to understand, why do I have this human form? What is the purpose of my existence? The tato brahma jigyasa. What is the absolute truth? I want to know. Some say there is no absolute truth, but when you ask them that they're absolutely sure, they have to back down. Is it? Because you can't be absolutely sure there's no absolute truth. You just contradicted your philosophy. So by the absurdity of negating the absolute truth, we can prove the existence of the absolute truth. There is an absolute truth, because its negation is impossible logically. There has to be an absolute truth. So what is it then? Janmajachataha, the absolute truth is that from which everything is coming. It's the original source of all existence. So one then can find out what is that original absolute truth, that cause of all causes, and you'll find an amazing person there. His name is Krishna. He's all beautiful, he's all powerful, he's all renowned, he's all wealthy, he's all famous, he's all wise, he's all loving. Love exists simply because Krishna is full of kindness. That's why love exists, because Krishna is kind. So we, being the emanations of Krishna, the energy of Krishna, are meant to be connected with Krishna. That we have foolishly disconnected ourselves from Krishna in some foolish attempt to try and enjoy separately from Him. So now it's time to wise up, to get back to our original identity as Krishna's eternal servants, and give up our foolish suffering here in karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. You owe it to yourself to awaken your Krishna consciousness. Do not cheat yourself, continuing to engage in indriya seva, serving your material senses. Putting all your energy into serving your senses, when the whole thing, that whole bag of senses called the body, is just going to wither and die. And it's not really you. You should be seeing to your real self-interest, awakening your original relationship with that beautiful person who's the source of everything. You're actually one of his associates from the spiritual world. What are you doing here? Trying to enjoy separately from him. It doesn't make any sense. You need to get back to your original position with Krishna. That's where you belong. And these devotees who purely present teachings of Krishna, they are also the well-wishers of all living entities. And Krishna is described, Suhridam Sarabhutanam, the best friend of all living entities. Those persons who preach on behalf of Krishna, the devotees who are preaching on behalf of Krishna, they are also Suhridam Sarabhutanam, the best friend of all living entities, because they have no desire except to give Krishna to everyone. Prabhupada did not come as a beggar to take something from the people in America. He came to give them Krishna. So this is our agenda. We have no agenda except to give Krishna to everyone, because we cannot tolerate to see how the people are suffering and lacking in the state of lacking Krishna consciousness. So there's some questions that can be passed forward now. I'll try to answer them. Sometimes the descriptions mentioned in the Bhagavatam sounds like mythological stories. only to the person who is faithless. This reminds me of one story that Narada Muni was going to see his Lord Narayan, and a couple of people, a cobbler and a Brahmin, asked, "Please ask Narayan when I become liberated." And so Narada Muni went, he saw Lord Narayan, he said, "Oh, that cobbler, he's a great devotee, he'll be liberated immediately. And that Brahmin, it will take him many, many lifetimes to become liberated." And when they ask, "What was Narayan doing when you saw him? Tell him that I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle, and see what is the reaction. Then you'll understand why the cobbler is going to be liberated immediately, and the Brahmin will take many lifetimes." So Narada Muni returned back to the earthly region. And the Brahmin said, "Oh, when will I become liberated? Oh, many, many lives." And he said, "What was Lord Narayan doing?" "Oh, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." "That's not possible. Are you kidding? That's ridiculous. He couldn't do that." So then Narada could understand why that Brahmin is not going to be liberated anytime soon. But then the cobbler, he also asked what Lord Narayan was doing. He said, "Oh, he's threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." And Narada Muni was astonished. The cobbler immediately was, "Oh, my Lord is so amazing. How wonderful." He said, "How can you believe that he's really doing that?" He said, "Well, I'm sitting under this banyan tree. It's a huge tree with so many trunks and branches going out, covering so many acres. If the whole thing was contained within a little seed, if this huge tree can be a little tiny seed, then what's the difficulty putting an elephant through the eye of a needle?" You see. So in this way, you see, one may think it's mythological, but you don't understand the unlimited potencies of Krishna. You're thinking through your own material vision, what you can do, sir. But Krishna has unlimited power. Everything exists. Everything that is going on is simply by his desire and his energy. He can do anything that he wants. There's no limit to Krishna's power. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. Anything conceivable and inconceivable can all be done by Krishna. So one should never think this is mythology. That simply means you're locked into some material vision. Sometimes it don't feel like taking instructions of senior devotees. My false ego gets hurt. Why don't you you check your shoes at the door? Why don't you check your false ego at the door also? Is it necessary to get personal orders from one's own spiritual master, or remain passive and wait for the time to? Actually, every instruction of the spiritual master is personal. I mean, I did get some, quote, personal instructions from Prabhupada in various letters. But actually, every instruction in every lecture, in every conversation, it's all personal instructions. You don't have to have a, quote, personal instruction. Every instruction is personal. Does the spiritual master give impersonal instructions? Every instruction is personal. He says, surrender to Krishna. He has personally told you that you should surrender to Krishna. You see? Can I get one solution for all problems in my life? Absolutely. Just surrender to Krishna and he will solve every single problem of your life. What does it mean to follow Srila Prabhupada? Obey his instructions. How do I know what Prabhupada would want? Read his books and do what he says in his books. How can we try to repay Srila Prabhupada and all his direct disciples like yourself? Simply serve, follow his instructions. That's all. Can you please speak about the relation between seniors, equals, and junior devotees? You serve and learn from your seniors. You befriend and share realizations with your equals, and you be very kind upon your juniors to help them advance in Krishna consciousness. Is it good to force others to do bhakti? Is a little bit of force okay? Yeah, a little bit of force is okay. Just like Prabhupada was forced. You know the story how Prabhupada was forced? He was a manager in Dr. Bose's laboratory. As a young about 22-year-old young man, he was a manager of this huge chemical factory. His friend Narendranath Malik had heard Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati speak and is very, very impressed. This is a great sadhu. So he wanted to buy his friend Abhay to come. Abhay didn't want to go. He says, yes, I know these sadhus, so many so-called sadhus. No, thank you. The Prabhupada said, practically he dragged me. So sometimes a little force is required. If Narendranath Malik had not exerted a little force on Abhay Charan day, where would we be? We're very indebted to Narendranath Malik, Prabhupada's friend, for putting a little pressure on Prabhupada to come here, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So don't be hesitant to put a little pressure sometimes in preaching. Not too much, but a little bit of pressure is good. Were you pressured to go to school? Who went to school voluntarily when they were little kids? We were all pressured. But we were happy, we learned how to read. How do we control anger? By using it in Krishna's service, as we described last night. I'm very, very angry about how the world is being mismanaged by these so-called political leaders, so-called spiritual leaders, so-called gurus, like they have the hugging mama. You know, ridiculous. Ridiculous. I'm disgusted and angry when I see this stuff going on. That's why I'm preaching and trying to attract the attention of the whole world. I put a video on YouTube every day, pushing forward Krishna consciousness. Video, you can go to videoforthedaya.com and check out my videos. Every day I post a new video. I'm trying to grab the attention of the whole world. But this is what we have to do. We have to become Krishna conscious. How do yogis get this amazing power? By all kinds of austerities and penances. Can yogis possess multiple cities? Yes, ashta cities. The one who perfects the yoga system, he possesses 8 cities, the ashta cities. Can these powers be used in Krishna consciousness? Sure. But don't think that you can easily get these powers. They're very difficult to achieve. You have to go to the Himalayas, give up all connection with material society, and do great austerities and penances to get yogic powers. And if they really have them today or not, sometimes they do. Prabhupada told, when Prabhupada explained, when he saw one yogi in Calcutta, and this yogi had prapti siddhi, he was able to bring, was it mango?
Pomegranate.
Huh?
Pomegranate
from Kashmir. Just pull it right from Kashmir. It's called Prapti Siddhi. So,
but the devotee has more power than the yogis.
But the devotee is even more powerful, you see, because he can give Krishna. They can give pomegranate from Kashmir. But devotee can give Krishna. That's the greatest Prapti Siddhi, to be able to grab Krishna by love and distribute him. You see. Okay. Krishna is the master of yoga, but Krishna's devotees are only devotees, not yogis. Actually, a bhakti is also yogi, bhakti yogi. But we're not interested in these cities. Generally, those who possess the cities, they become enamored by their powers and they remain caught up in the material world trying to enjoy their yogic powers. So we're not interested in developing these cities. It's a distraction. What is the best way to become self-controlled? By engaging your senses in the service of Krishna 24/7, at home, at school, at work, in the commute, while shopping, at the temple, everywhere you go, always keep your senses engaged in the service of Krishna. If initiating guru deviates from his spiritual practices, leaves his ashram, sastrically, the disciple is required to accept reinitiation. No? Oh, one can be reinitiated. That's not mandatory. Because you were connected with the specific succession. When the spiritual master was popped. Actually, it's a great tragedy, of course. When someone is, the spiritual masters are not able to continue, it's a great tragedy. It's happened too many times in ISKCON. It's happened also in Vedic times. We see that Shukracharya, you see, he deviated. Our Bali Maharaj, he became great acharya simply by neglecting the order of his bogus guru, you see. If the guru becomes bogus, you can neglect. Don't follow. If the guru becomes bogus, don't follow him. Actually, Prabhupada explains how the disciple can take his guru back to Godhead, Prabhupada mentions. The spiritual master helped you in so many ways, but he fell into difficulty, now you should try to help him. Although you understand theoretically that you're not the body but the soul, but you still catch yourself having material desires, how do you increase your attachment to Krishna? By chanting with more focus, with more meditation, by doing everything in a more first-class way. Try to always improve the quality of everything you do for Krishna, and that increase of quality of your service, your hearing, your chanting, everything you do, your praying, honoring prasadam in a more devoted mood, everything you do, when you try to improve the quality of that, then naturally your attachment for Krishna will come. I'm a young student and have desires to progress in spiritual life, but I have many responsibilities and don't get time for Krishna. Can I avoid Krishna until I get free from responsibilities? No, you have to do those. You have to offer those responsibilities for Krishna, like you're a student in the school. You think, well, let me become learned so I can become a powerful preacher. Go to school and become very expert in writing and speaking, so I can become a powerful preacher of Krishna consciousness in the future. We see our spiritual masters only once or twice a year. How can we have a loving, strong relation with him? By following Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada didn't see his spiritual master. He saw him hardly at all. He said, 10 times and maybe not even 10 times. My disciples have seen me more than 10 times. You see? Prabhupada didn't see his spiritual master more than 10 times. I saw Prabhupada only very few times. I saw him once in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in New Vrindavan, Pittsburgh and Atlanta, 5 times. That's it. That's it. So one has to learn how to connect with the vani of the spiritual master, the vibrational presence. Actually, that moment when I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master in 1971, he wasn't even physically present, but Prabhupada became present in my heart at that moment. So that is the key. You have to learn how to take the spiritual master into your heart by totally surrendering your heart and soul to him. And then you'll be with him at every minute. And the external of the Vapu Association is just the icing on the cake, you see. The cake is actually the Vani Association, and the Vapu Association is the icing. To help you develop a stronger attachment for Vani. What do you mean by when you said check your false ego outside the shoe rack, on the shoe rack? Means curb it down. Don't allow your false ego to take control. You keep it under your control. The lording and over propensity should be curbed down. How to get the association of devotees when work and time with family is absorbing most of the time in the day? Well, you have to make your family into devotees. You should be getting devotee association from your family. Please tell me how to take a vow and fulfill it. It's very simple. From this day forward, I will chant 16 rounds without fail. Even if I have to skip my meals, I don't care. If I have to give up my sleeping, I don't care. I will chant 16 rounds a day without fail. And you do it. Simple thing. Why Krishna did not set example of sticking with one woman? He did. He does, as Lord Ram. And he sets that example. Ram is Krishna himself setting the example of sticking with one woman. But Krishna doesn't have to follow your agenda, sir. Actually, Krishna is not enjoying other men's wives. Because every woman is actually the Shakti of Krishna. He's simply enjoying his own energy. That's his rightful position. They say, well, Krishna is immoral, he's enjoying other men's wives. But actually, sir, you are immoral because you think your wife belongs to you. Actually, she belongs to Krishna. You are an adulterer. You see? Because you're thinking that woman belongs to you. Actually, she is Krishna's property. Every woman, you are also Krishna's property. Everything belongs to Krishna because everything is emanating from Krishna. So you have to elevate your consciousness to understand Krishna is sticking with everyone. Krishna's position is to stick with everyone because everyone is his Shakti, his beloved sons and daughters. He's sticking with everyone. That's his position. Why should he only stick with one person? He sticks with everyone. The trouble is we want to unstick ourselves from Krishna. That's the problem. Now we have to Krishna wants to remain connected with us, but we want to disconnect with Krishna. That is the difficulty. Why Krishna does not mention anything about Hare Krishna mantra in the Gita? Actually, he does. He says, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. He's telling you should always chant Hare Krishna. Haven't you read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 14? Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Always chant my glories.
He also says,
huh?
All the yagyas is japa yagya.
Yeah. I am the japa yagya. Is even a sadhaka more powerful than a yogi? Or just the pure devotee? Well, the real meaning of sadhaka is pure devotee. That's the real meaning of the sadhaka, pure devotee. Any more questions? Pass them forward. Okay. What are the qualifications of the devotee to go to Krishna? You want to answer that one? Qualifications, devotee to go to Krishna. Qualifications of a devotee to Krishna is complete total surrender, the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. Actually, it's a very simple thing. If you study the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 6, and you'll see the items of bhakti. The first three items actually cover everything. If you follow the first three, which take shelter of bona fide Guru, get initiated by the bona fide Guru, and be fully obedient to him. Under his order, then everything else will be there. He orders you to chant Hare Krishna at least 16 rounds. He orders you to master the art of chanting without offense. He orders you to avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Instructs you to be a member of his spiritual family, the ISKCON family, to work together cooperatively to serve this wonderful mission. So if you simply become fully surrendered to the bona fide spiritual master, formalized as an initiated disciple, and fulfill your initiation vows, that will liberate you. That will liberate you. How can we remind ourselves of Krishna when our mind and mood is not letting us perform bhakti? Oh, you have to curb down the materialistic mind. The mind has a tendency to wander into sense gratification. That's why Govinda Das is saying, Bajahure mana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charanada Vindure. My dear mind, please now engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. The mind wants to go here, go there for sense gratification. But you have to say, okay, mind, you've had enough now of messing around. Now it's time to get serious about devotional service. You have to train your mind. Your mind is not you. You're the Atman, the spirit soul. The mind is something that diverts you. If it's properly engaged, it will help you. But you just have to bring your mind under control and bring it back to Krishna. Like Bhagavad Gita explains, yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamashtadam. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. In our preaching endeavors, if our preaching endeavors are not getting success, should we stop them, or how to stay motivated for preaching? Is it an indication of offenses in the spiritual life? Not necessarily. It could be that you're committing offenses and therefore your preaching is not very pure. Therefore, it's not very attractive because you yourself are not developing taste for Krishna. How you can inspire anyone else to have taste for Krishna? So it could be due to offenses. But the fact is that if we sincerely preach, even if we're still dealing with our offenses, if we sincerely preach to try to give Krishna to others, then sometimes the result will be there and sometimes the result will not be there, because this is the material world, it's the Kali Yuga. Most people couldn't care less about self-realization. But if you preach to a sufficient number of people, if you approach enough people, you will find some that are interested. Manushanam sahasleshu kashtar yatati siddhaye. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and out of 1,000 who've endeavored for perfection, hardly even one will know me in truth. So it is a numbers game. If you want to preach, you have to figure you're going to get a lot of no's, a lot of rejections. You just got to keep pushing forward with great enthusiasm, and sooner or later you'll be successful. Don't give up that enthusiasm. Keep preaching. I feel that I am stagnant in Krishna consciousness. How to always be enthusiastic? Kick stagnation with boot and give it an enthusiastic kick. Get out of here, you rascal. Mr. Stagnation, you don't belong in my life anymore. When do we know we need to choose a spiritual master? As soon as you're serious about self-realization. When you're serious that, yes, I really want to get out of this material world. I don't want to stay here. I want to give up my sinful activities, absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. That's when you're serious, that's when you need a spiritual master. Every time I want to enjoy subtly or grossly, every time I want to enjoy subtly or grossly, how to overcome? Well, learn how to actually enjoy. Instead of going out to the artificial enjoyment of subtle and gross sense pleasure, why not enjoy this pleasure of the soul to awaken your loving sentiments for Krishna? There's nothing more thrilling, nothing more exciting, nothing more enjoyable than awakening your love for Krishna. We don't say don't enjoy. Prabhupada said chant and be happy. Prabhupada ordered you to be happy, to chant and be happy. So we have to learn how to be happy on the spiritual plane. And that happiness, it's subtle in the beginning, it takes time to master it, but as you develop that art to enjoy spiritually, you will find there's unlimited happiness available on that plane in any situation. Once you get to a certain level, you can be anywhere, at home, at work, at school, traveling. You can be anywhere and just remember Krishna and connect with Him within your heart and feel great happiness. Envy, 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 please help me. Actually, it reminds me of one question I asked Prabhupada. because I got very little personal association with the divine grace, but so many God brothers, you know. Yeah, I was on the morning walk, I was in the darshan, I was going, oh, hearing all this, envy was getting unbearable, you know. So I felt really bad. You shouldn't be envious of your God brothers, just be, you know, because they went on the morning walk and you didn't, you know. So I felt really bad. I said, I better write Prabhupada how to get rid of this envy I have in my heart. So I wrote him, Prabhupada, I have this difficulty. I'm envious of my God brothers who are getting more of your association than I am. How to overcome this envy, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada really surprised me with his answer. He said, transcendental envy means when you see someone that's pleasing Krishna more than you, you should try harder so Krishna will recognize you also. So envy can that way can be used in Krishna's service, you see. So there are ways you can actually use envy in Krishna's service. Mind wants to do new service every time. How to stick to one service for years. It's a fact, if you're actually fixed in Krishna consciousness, you could do one thing for millions of years and never get tired of it. Because we're neophytes, yeah, I got to do this, want so many varieties, got to do this and this and this and this. I can't do any one thing too long. Just like actually a pure devotee can chant, sit and chant japa 24 hours a day. But we can't do that, you see. Our minds get restless. We've got to do this and that. We have variegated activities to keep our interest up. So, the thing is, if you just keep doing the services that you're being prescribed to do by your temple authorities, by your spiritual master, you just keep doing the prescribed duties that are coming, then you gradually develop what's called ruchi, or taste, that you can do anything in fellowship. It takes time to come to that stage. You have to get all the lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, envy, and fear out of your heart to get to that stage of ruchi. But if you follow the order of the spiritual master, you work cooperatively with the devotees, follow the temple authorities, then you will gradually get free of that lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, and fear, and reach a state where you can be in any situation. Just by remembering Krishna, you'll become blissful. I'm fearful of wearing Kanti Mala. Can you please suggest its importance? To wear it artificially when you're not practicing Krishna consciousness doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I smoke, I mess around with women, and I drink liquor, take a little LSD every now and then. Just to protect myself, I wear some neck beads. No. That doesn't make any sense. But someone who is seriously taking up Krishna consciousness, I want to become a devotee, you should wear neck beads. Because this reminds you who you actually are, you see. I belong to Krishna. I'm his property. Kanti Mala marks you as the property of Krishna. I belong to Krishna now. That's the meaning of the Kanti Mala. Now I'm the property of Krishna. So you should take it. You should wear Kanti Mala. If you're serious about going back to Godhead, you should wear. Start off with like one or two strands, and then the custom in ISKCON was at initiation, three strands. Before that, two, one or two. I remember I had one strand and initiated three strands. In Vedic culture, you can tell by somebody's dress what is their position. And that's part of Vedic culture. Like Prabhupada said, parted in the hair, that's a chaste woman. Parted in the side, that's a prostitute. So our ladies can note them. But that's in Vedic culture. So in Vedic culture, you can tell someone's position. So we show, yes, I am serious about being a devotee. I'm wearing Kanti, trying to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, I'm wearing Kanti Mala. Is it okay to learn presentation and communication skills from online sources like TED experts? If you can use it for Krishna, there's no harm. Prabhupada actually appreciated college students because they have certain material qualifications which make them very valuable for ISKCON. He had nothing, there's nothing against using these material trainings. Just like you learn how to read That's a material training as well. How to understand this from the point of view of avoiding materialistic association? Well, you can use it in Krishna's service. You have to be not carried away, because they may crack some sexually surcharged jokes, etc. You have to be careful. I find all the gurus in ISKCON very inspiring, so how do I choose a guru? Well, see which one inspires you the most. Simple. How to be regular for Mangal Aarti, sometimes working late night. Well, you can have it at home. I assume this is somebody at home, not a house sort of. So if you get, you can have your Mangal Aarti a little late if you have to. If you get to bed at midnight or 1 o'clock, 1 a.m., you can have your Mangal Aarti a little late on those days. Why waking up early in the morning is important, I find it very hard. There are modes of nature that act. After sunrise, the mode of passion comes on. At sunset, the mode of ignorance comes on. That period of time before the sunrise, the mode of goodness is very, very powerful, Brahma Muhurta. So you need to utilize the modes to help you advance in Krishna consciousness. The chanting of Hare Krishna is a meditative sattvic activity, or it's actually shuddha sattvic, but sattvic will help us to meditate on Krishna's name, become very peaceful and meditative state of mind. So one should rise early and meditate on the holy names of Krishna with great intensity and focus before the sunrise, because then you can really, really solidly connect with Krishna. And that connection will carry throughout the whole day. Once the Rajagun comes in with sunrise, Tamagun comes in at sunset, because you have that strong connection the early morning, that's like charging your mobile phone before you head out for your day. You want to have a good surcharge of Krishna Bhakti, you see. So you get that powerful charge before sunrise. So please, follow this and get the benefit. So, we've run out of questions and time is a little bit over, so we'll go ahead and stop here. We're just delighted all of you have come today. Please take this prize. One more. This is the last one. No more. I have stopped sinful activity during the day. But I might be able to stop myself in the dreams. Well, that's understood. But if you keep your days pure, the nights will gradually catch up. If you don't sin during the day, then gradually you have all these experiences now. See, what's in your dream is coming up from your subconscious. You have impressions stored from millions of lifetimes in your subconsciousness. So there's so many sinful activities, memories and sinful activities stored there in your subconsciousness. What you're doing now, that's actually putting more data into your subconsciousness. So by practicing Krishna consciousness, gradually you're purifying your subconsciousness, you see. So eventually you'll start having Krishna conscious dreams, you see. It takes time, it takes years, but eventually you'll start having, the more you practice Krishna consciousness in your daytime, you'll start having Krishna conscious dreams coming up more and more and more. So keep practicing and be patient. It takes time to clean that subconsciousness, but it will happen in due course. So again, we thank you all very much for coming. Now please take this human life very seriously. Give yourself completely to Guru and Krishna and become the pure devotee and go back to home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarsan Das Adhikari ki jai.